The Long Fight Over Immigration by Brian Brown. Directions. Carefully read the following two sources to help answer the questions in your assessment packet. Use reading strategies to help you understand the content better. A historic argument. The U.S. is often referred to as a nation of immigrants. Indeed, if you are not a full-blooded member of a Native American tribe, you are an immigrant or a descendant of immigrants. Yet the American battle over immigration dates to the Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson in 1776. Among the Declaration's grievances against Britain's King George was that the king was, quote, obstructing the laws for the naturalization of foreigners, preventing the colonies from attracting immigrants. In 1783, naturalizing new arrivals was also on George Washington's mind when he addressed a group of Irish immigrants. The U.S. was open to, quote, the oppressed and persecuted of all nations and religions, whom we shall welcome to a participation of all of our rights and privileges, he said. This was a matter of principle, says Daniels. It was also necessary to America's survival. The founding fathers had a big, vacant country. Immigration was vital to help fill it. Even from the beginning, however, some Americans have been suspicious of immigrants. Few of their children in the country learn English, one famous American complained in 1751 of a colony of aliens. Aliens are considered people from other countries who will never adopt our language or customs. Who wrote these words? Founding Father Benjamin Franklin, warning his fellow Pennsylvanians about German immigrants. Franklin came to embrace immigration, yet his words reveal that the question of who qualifies as an American has always been up for debate. Our immigration history. The nation's first census, a survey of the country's population, race, religion, and country of origin, in 1790 counted nearly 4 million people total, mostly Protestant Christians of English, Welsh, or Scottish heritage. In the 1830s, newcomers began arriving in great numbers, nearly 5 million people in 30 years. About a third were Irish, poor, and Catholic. Another third were mostly Catholic Germans. This alarmed many people who thought of themselves as uniquely American. Protestant mobs periodically attacked Catholic churches or schools. Nativist, a political party, pamphlets claimed that the Pope, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, undermined American democracy. In 1856, the anti-immigrant American Party, known as the Know-Nothings, fielded a presidential candidate who won 20% of the vote. Still, for most of the 19th century, the U.S. government encouraged immigrants to fill the nation's vast spaces. In 1862, Congress passed the Homestead Act, which opened up huge territories west of the Mississippi River. The act promised settlers that they could keep a plot of land if they lived on it for 5 years, the amount of time it took for an immigrant to become a naturalized citizen, a person who has become a citizen of the United States. Thousands of German, Scandinavian, and Irish families took advantage of the opportunity. That's the way the Midwest got populated, Daniel said. Settling the West helped Germans and Irish become American, but finding acceptance proved difficult for Chinese immigrants who began arriving in the mid-1800s. The influx inspired protests and local legislation that was intended to protect free white labor, as one 1862 California law put it. This backlash led to the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882, the federal government's first attempt to regulate immigration along racial lines. By the 20th century, the tide of newcomers was only growing stronger. More than 27 million people entered the U.S. between 1880 and 1930. Many were Poles, Jews, Greeks, and Italians from Eastern and Southern Europe. This sparked often racist concerns about foreigners driving down wages, income or pay for working a job, or breeding, growing crime. In 1921, the government set the first immigration quotas. These restrictions, which favored Northern and Western Europeans, were designed to maintain the country's ethnic mix. They sharply reduced the number of immigrants allowed into the country, It wasn't until the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s that many Americans recognized that the quotas were discriminatory. The Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, which officially ended the quotas, reclaimed the idea that America was a nation that welcomed immigrants. Historian May Nagai of Columbia University in New York City has written, "Since then, about 59 million people have come to the country. Today, about 14% of the U.S. population is foreign-born." Current attitudes. According to geographer Ellen Percy Crayley of Colgate University in Hamilton, New York, the worries many Americans have about immigrants haven't changed much from a century ago. Then, as today, quote, "concerns had to do with sovereignty, loyalty to a country, jobs, issues of security, the loss of traditional American values," she says. There are signs that many Americans are not as opposed to immigrants as some politicians are. A recent Pew Research Center poll revealed that a majority of Americans believe immigrants strengthen the country and favor allowing unauthorized immigrants to stay under certain circumstances. Whatever the case, experts say, the U.S. will continue to be a nation of immigrants. In fact, research organizations, including Pew, estimate that future immigrants and their descendants will make up an increasing percentage of the U.S. population. Most likely, says Crayley, those immigrants will become as fully American as past generations have. As for those age-old worries over the effect of new arrivals, like Ben Franklin had, she isn't worried. After all, she says, we're not speaking German.